You may take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. I would like to take our subject this evening as Where Are the Patriots? Where are the Patriots? 1 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verses 1 to verses 13. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behaviour, given to hospitality and apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, and not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are taking all of that as our text this evening, and we are going to spend a moment or two speaking on the subject of where are the patriots. Amen. Brother Billy, would you pray for us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, just ask, Lord, that you just bless us this evening, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we'll have a blessed time, Lord, around your presence, knowing, Lord, it has been good to have been in your midst. And Lord, whether two or three gather together, you're here in the midst of us. And Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, for your goodness to us. Bless your servant, Lord, as he speaks to us this evening, Lord. And Lord, give him an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, we give you the honor, praise, glory for all that thou hast given to us. So we ask the Lord for your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Billy. There is in the Word of God a lot of instruction, a lot of commands, a lot of things that God knows that we need when it comes to the choice of a man that is to lead. Especially when it comes to the family, first of all. For before there was a church, there was a family, Adam and Eve, in the garden. Then the church, and of course then the country. Now, as I am sure we are all well aware, there is much news about at the moment, as leaders of countries and churches show themselves to be far from qualified to actually lead. As we read here, there are only two offices that are mentioned in the Bible. The first one is mentioned in verse number 1. It talks about a bishop. The second one is mentioned in verse number 8, where it talks about a deacon. The bishop, or the pastor, is the man that is supposed to spend time in prayer and study, reading the Word of God, talking to the Lord, and behaving appropriately. And the deacon is supposed to be a man that is ready to work and do all the things around the church that need to be done. Sadly, we see that so many of the people that have set themselves up as leaders in this world, people that other people look to for guidance, have not quite fulfilled the criteria that God gives here. We see many of these leaders that have forgotten that they are not to be living for themselves anymore, but for those that they lead. I know we hear many reports of gross immorality in many of the churches, most notably of late, is the Roman Catholic Church, because of the things that the priests and the nuns have been up to over the decades and even centuries and millennia since the Roman Catholic Church was instituted 300 AD by Constantine. And then we see, of course, the lies that are required to cover up these, I can't even call them indiscretions, but these acts of gross immorality. And this is in the churches. We don't have to think back too far in our own country to witness the fraud that has been carried out by members of the ruling elite in our country. And then the lies and the things that are done to try and cover it up. We can step across the Atlantic and we can look at ex-President Clinton and see the things that he tried to cover up, which eventually came to light. And 20, 30 years ago, was Nixon, did he not get in a lot of hot water for telling lies? Bill Clinton just walks away with his head held high. Does that not show you the change in our leadership, and not only our leadership, but those people that watch our leaders? These people think that when they step into a position of authority, that they have ascended or risen above the law. Well, friends, it's just not so. These and many other abuses of the power that leaders have been entrusted to, they're practically commonplace. We almost expect the people that are running our country to have skeletons rattling about in their cupboards. What we need in this day, and it needs to start in the home, is men that are prepared to sacrifice for their families. And for those families that don't have a man, we need a woman that is prepared to sacrifice for their family. In fact, the Word of God says, and it has meant more to me since I didn't acquire a wife, I accepted my wife, the one that God prepared for me, that it's not all about me anymore. Jesus said, He commanded husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave His life for it. To stand in between your family and danger, whether that be a physical danger or whether that be a spiritual danger. If it be financial danger, it means, man, you do without, whilst your family, they do with. Where are those men and those women, those leaders of families that are prepared to sacrifice? Those that will put the needs of those they represent above their own lusts and their own desires. Countries, they need exactly the same thing. I want to stop for a moment. I hope and pray that you have realized that I'm not here to sing God Save the Queen. I am not here. What's the American national anthem called? Does anybody know? I should know that. We're not here to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And we're not here to sing the Soldier's Song or any other song of pledging of allegiance to a country. Although countries would do well to insist upon that, and the people that join them to pledge their allegiance to the country that they have chosen to live in. I'm talking about pledging allegiance to God. And this is only for Christians. This is for leaders, so I may not actually be, I'm preaching this one for myself, for someone that maybe hears this message, that's a leader in the home. I want to tell you something. The same criteria for a pastor, most of the criteria apply to a husband as well, and to a president, or a king, or to anybody that is ready or desires to lead people. And let me tell you something, friends. If you belong to Jesus Christ, we are strangers in a strange land. And this world is not our home. Our home lies over the horizon. Our home is heaven. And do you know what, friends? Heaven needs patriots. What we need in this world are people that are prepared to catch a grip of themselves. That whenever that they will stop for a moment and think about what God wants before they embark upon an adventure. That they will take control of their own lusts and desires and ambitions so that they can lead others to Jesus Christ. There are, I am sure we all have favourite verses. And it's not that I have favourite verses, it's just that I have verses for circumstances. And 1 Corinthians 9 and 27 tells us what Paul, now this is Paul the Apostle, that made the blind to see, cast out demons, did miracles, raised up even the very dead to life. This is Paul, right? He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, every day I have to catch a hold of myself and stop myself from going crazy. That's what Paul said. The desires and the lusts, friends, we will always have them until we stand in glory with Jesus Christ someday, with this old sin nature destroyed forever. And everything that is sinful is in the lake of fire, and everything that is pure and holy is in through those pearly white gates, and walking those streets of gold. The Word of God tells us that a good leader has to approach others in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Where are the patriots? Where are the men of God, the men and women of God that are ready for service? Where are the souls that are prepared to let their own ambitions and desires and lusts? And let me tell you something, friends. I'm not talking about, this is aimed, if you desire to lead souls to Christ, this is for you. If God has called you to be faithful in church, this is for you. But more importantly, it is for leaders. Do you ever hear of the old saying, you'll kick yourself whenever you find something out? Well, this is for guys like me in the pulpit. I'm kicking myself. Where are the people that have claimed Christ as their Saviour, that have booked their home in the great building project in heaven, that Jesus constructs even now, He goes to prepare a place for us, that He's going to come back someday and take us there too? Where are the people that are the patriots of heaven? Before anybody says, are you preaching sedition? Are you preaching treason? No, I'm not. Let me tell you something, friends. If your standards are heavenly standards, they are higher than any earthly standards. In any country, in any faith. Where are these men and women? Can you point to the soul? Stand in a mirror when you do this. That is prepared to say, no. Yes, even though I really, really want that thing, I'm going to leave it because somebody else can do with that time, with that effort, with that money. Or, I really, really fancy doing that thing there. But if you do that thing, is somebody going to see me going in and do and coming out of there, and will my testimony be in tatters afterwards? Where are the people that are prepared to say no to the world and yes to God? Well, let me tell you where they come from. These people are not born. Rather, they are born again. They have been changed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that Christ puts there when a soul repents of their life and trusts the finished work of Christ on the cross. These souls are born again at the foot of an old rugged cross. So where are they? Patriots are made friends. Jesus Christ paid for all our sins upon the cross. He did. And it cost us nothing, but it cost Him everything. And it's absolutely free. And I've heard many of the pastors say that you can go as far as you like in your Christian life. You can. You can go the whole way. You can be in church. You can give 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50% of everything that you get into the church. I remember the testimony of a young man. I don't remember what he was saved from. But every single thing that he had, he gave to the church. All that he had at home was a chair and a tea chest and a stove. Everything else was completely dedicated to God. I'm not saying we have to do that. But where are the patriots? Patriots, friends, are made. You know a patriot by the things that they say. They stand for their country. Is that not correct? A good patriot always says patriotic things. They speak well of their country. They act well for their country. And they act decisively for their country. It's not about fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. I have a list here of about 10 or 12 things. It's not about what I want. It's about what my great leader wants, Jesus Christ, in any of these roles. It's not a life of great glory. Many people think of patriots that have lived down through the centuries, and they sing their praises and they did such wonderful things. You know what? Many people covet the glory. Many people, and I have heard it said even in business. I heard a couple of Christian businessmen speaking of their employees. And some of their employees said, well, how come it is that you get, say, £1,000 for doing that job and we only get £50 each? How come you get all the great rewards? This man had to explain then, well, you see, it's like this. I own the equipment. I organise the transport. I have to pay for all the materials, etc., etc. It is me that takes the risks. It is me that organised it. It is me that did all the legwork behind the scenes. And it is me that's going to be at home tonight when you're watching TV, doing up the paperwork and writing the bill and posting it. Many people covet the glory, but very rarely do they ever covet the hard work that goes behind it. It's not about glory, it's about the hard work. It's not a life of ease, friends. It's not about ruling everything with a rod of iron. It's not a life of peace either. Because there are many people that are jealous. And there are many souls that just, they're what they call a dog in the manger. They can't eat the stuff that's there, but they don't want anybody else to have it either. It's not about these things. If you were to ask the Queen of England today, does she enjoy ruling her country? I think that she would give you her diary. And she would show you the number of places that she must go to. The number of people that she must speak to. She would show you her whole year laid out with very little free time. It is not about glory. It is not about others serving you. It is about how you serve those other souls. It is a life of sacrifice because your time and your effort are no longer your own. It is a life of service as you strive against the world, self and the devil to fulfill God's will in your life. It can be a life of worry as you work with souls and tend to and pray for souls. It's not just about getting down on your hands and knees. It's about rolling your sleeves up. It can be a life of freedom if you will commit your all to Jesus Christ in prayer. To His will and not your own. I'm always reminded of a little verse in Romans chapter 8 where it tells us that all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are the called according to His purpose. If you're doing what God wants you to do, everything will work out for the best. It can be a life of joy and victory as we see the souls that we have contended for come to Christ and unburden themselves and experience the freedom that is to be had whenever the Lord cuts those ropes and chains that the devil uses to bind us and to crush us. Can be a life of joy and victory down in this world, but I can guarantee you it will be an eternity of joy and victory when we get to heaven and see our prayers that were answered and the finished results of all our good works. Let me tell you something else, patriot. It is a life of judgment as day by day we compare our lives to that of Christ and what He has written in His Word. It's a life of attention as the doors for the church are prayerfully watched. It is also a life of attention as other people watch you. Have you ever noticed how many times and how much people that are not Christians know about Christianity whenever you do something that a Christian shouldn't do? You could be speaking to a most grossly immoral person with the foulest mouth and the most reprobate mind, and if you were hammering a nail in and you hit your thumb, and it's funny how that works, you don't feel anything for about 2 seconds. And then it's like someone plugged the mains in up your arm. And sometimes the words will just fall out all by themselves. And that lying, thieving, drunkard, immoral, profane, devil worshipper will stand up and say, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't say that. Is that not the way it goes?
That is true.
Everybody knows how Christians need to behave. That is the life of a leader. It is a life of attention, friends. For the Christian leader, most importantly, it's a life of study. As the Word of God is searched day by day, not only for what God wants in our lives, but for what He wants in the lives of those that are around and about us, and for Christian leaders, for the direction that the church is taking. It is a life of study. I want to give you a freebie as well. Whenever you read and study your Bible, it's good for your mind. I remember reading a study about Alzheimer's, and they discovered that one of the best things for Alzheimer's sufferers was to do puzzles and to read and to sing and memorize things, because that keeps all the neurons firing and all of the neurons connected. So especially for the leader in a church, for the leader, the spiritual leader in the family, I want to tell you something, friend. God says in His Word that He expects the man to be the spiritual leader. He does. That means, man, this is for you. It is also a life of humility. I know there are many times whenever people do things on us that we would just like to get our big boots on and kick them up and down the street, or we would just like to put our hand on their shoulder and twist their head right off and throw it away. The Lord said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Give place unto wrath, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." There are things that we need to commit to God. We need to subdue ourselves. Our greatest enemy, friends, leaders, is not the devil. Our greatest enemy is not the world. Our greatest enemy is the chap that gets into bed with you. I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. I'm talking about you. It's the person that greets you in the mirror in the morning. We are our own worst enemies. When we give in to ourselves and the things that we really want in this world, instead of listening to reason, we become our own worst enemies. Friends, the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 1, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, I will make them as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I will make them like wool." He said in Revelation, I think it's Revelation chapter 2 or Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. And if you will invite me in, I will sup with you, and you will sup with me." We need to stop for a moment. We need to ask ourselves honestly and truthfully, where are the patriots? Where are the patriots? Brother Neil, it's absolutely amazing that you came out with that statement about a leader, a person to stand up and speak up for Jesus Christ this evening. An absolute, a prophetic question. Where is that man? Where are those men, those women? Do you know where they are? They're right here. Each and every one of us that has chosen Christ as Savior and is leaning on His arm, not our own understanding, can be that patriot. Anybody can be. I once heard that the difference between a hero and everybody else is the hero hangs on for 1 minute longer. And that's what we need to do. We need to hang on for one more minute. We need to stand up and we need to speak up one more time. We need to open our Bibles and read them for one more minute. We need to spend one more minute memorizing Bible verses. We need to spend one more minute in prayer. That's all we need. I pray you, friends, tonight, that as we go our separate ways, don't forget we've got a little bit of supper after the service. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go away hungry, but we're going to go away well fed, and I have seen some of the food coming in and I am looking forward to it. But I pray you tonight, this message is for you. It is for all of us tonight. It is a call to a general salvation, and it is a call to a peculiar Christian life. I pray you that you would be a good patriot for God. Someday, friends, that's all that will matter. But let us make a difference now. I want to thank you for your good time and attention this evening. I do appreciate you being here. I want to thank you for all the hard work that you have all put into supper so far. And I am certainly looking forward to a cup of tea and a little bit of fellowship afterwards. Amen.